From the heartland of America, the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, a police officer talks about 400 things cops know, followed by, of course, stories of the greatest horror writer ever, H.P. Lovecraft. Here's what's happening. Hours after protests over the grand jury decision in the 18-year-old Michael Brown's death here in Ferguson, Missouri, police across the country took to the streets to voice their anger again. We've had demonstrations in over 100 cities throughout the United States tonight. In Washington, protesters just simply fell down on the sidewalk outside police headquarters as if they were dead. There was a shocking moment at a demonstration in Minneapolis where a woman in a group blocking an intersection was run over by a car. In Chicago, a few dozen protesters gathered Tuesday morning on a downtown street corner ahead of another protest at City Hall. They protested in New York at Union Square. They blocked the entrances to the Lincoln Tunnel. And it's been going on and on and on. In Ferguson, Missouri tonight and around the greater St. Louis area, they did burn a police car tonight. And there have been numerous arrests as well. That's what's happening. More than two dozen people were charged Tuesday with burglary, stealing, and other crimes. 80 people arrested in last night and this morning, and that's growing. That list is growing. And right now, 2,200 National Guardsmen have been called out to try to quell some things. Some Thanksgiving travelers along the East Coast are heading out early because of a forecast calling for a nor'easter that will bring rain and snow. The National Weather Service's lead forecaster says that there'll be some moderate to heavy rain along that area, and then there could be 6 to 12 inches of snow. Great. Facebook, by the way, thought it was perfectly okay to make people into unwitting guinea pigs when it manipulated over 500,000 people's news feeds to change the number of positive and negative posts that they saw as part of a psychological study. Then Snapchat seemed fine not fixing a privacy breach that compromised the phone numbers and usernames for as many as 4.6 million accounts. And then Uber, you know, that company that you can just use your app for and they'll come and pick you up like a taxi. Its rival, Lyft, they tried to nail them by aggressively poaching drivers, sabotaging its fundraising, ordering and canceling more than 5,000 fake rides. What are they trying to do? What's going on with all this privacy invasion? Let's check in with Catherine Albrecht, who, by the way, will be one of my special guests next week. Boy, this is out of control, Catherine.
You know, it is out of control. I think these big corporations, they're kind of nimble tech startups, and then they get bigger, and they kind of stick to that nimble startup mentality, which oftentimes means taking advantage wherever advantage can be taken. Uber is not a little company. This is the ride-sharing company where you can use an app on your phone to get yourself a ride no matter where you're at. You can enter your city and find somebody who can come by and pick you up and take you where you want to go. But the problem is the company is keeping track of all of those rides, and they're actually threatening to use the information they have on people against journalists. They actually were boasting. Now, bear in mind, this is now an $18 billion company. So we think about these guys as just sort of ride sharing, but it's become ride sharing on a massive, massive scale. And at a dinner party last week, one of the senior executives with the company said, "Hey, you know, I really don't like the way journalists are saying negative things about us. Here's my plan. We're going to put together a team to dig up dirt and disclose personal details about the personal life of some of the journalists who are giving us a hard time." And said this in front of Arianna Huffington and all sorts of people at this big dinner party in New York. And I think the big question was, wait a minute, are these companies really out of control? You talked about 5,000 fake rides that were called and then canceled against an opponent. That would be like if an airline booked 5,000 flights on a rival airline and canceled them at the last minute. It's just crazy. These guys in Silicon Valley really are like playing like it's the Wild West.
Really, I look forward to talking to you next Tuesday, Catherine.
Likewise, George.
Catherine Albrecht. Her websites, by the way, are part of our Twitter feed right now at coasttocoastam.com. The Sony computer hacking episode is not over. The corporation's computers were still down in New York, overseas, and on Culver City's lot of Sony Pictures in Los Angeles for the second day. IT experts are still trying to figure out How did this breach happen? Experts say regular tests for vitamin D levels are not proven to be beneficial or harmful, despite previous research warning of damaging effects of vitamin D deficiencies in adults. Studies have found that low levels of vitamin D can increase the risk of bone fractures, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, depression, Alzheimer's, and even death. But a U.S. Preventative Services Task Force says no evidence that getting regular testing for sufficient vitamin D decreases health risks. I'm not so sure. Let's check in with our researcher, Christian Wild, myheartbook.com. You know what? I'm going to still keep taking vitamin D supplements, Christian.
You absolutely need to keep taking that vitamin D. This kind of a study makes absolutely no sense at all. We got 69% of the American population deficient in vitamin D. 71% of our young people may be deficient in vitamin D. And the only way we would ever know, or your doctor would know, if we were deficient, is to have the hydroxy vitamin D 25 test, the one that they're talking about that they think is no longer has to be done. You know, that also includes in that listing I just gave you, that percentage, 90% of African American children and 80% of Hispanic children. And there's an explanation for that. Darker skin does not absorb the beneficial sun rays as well as lighter skinned people. And that's the reason for that high percentage. Vitamin D deficiency happens when a blood concentration of D is 30 or below, as confirmed by the vitamin D hydroxy 25 blood test that this article is about. An estimated 15%, George, of the U.S. population may have a low level as low as 10 or 15, which is considered severe. Lower D levels also lower one's resistance to all the immune diseases, just like you said earlier, diabetes 1 and 2, all the cancers, heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, and even dementia and Alzheimer's. On the positive side, the scientists find that when they find that the levels are very low and they add supplementation of vitamin D, as much as a 50% patient improvement is observed. And even among the elderly, like you said earlier, I'm just repeating it, it's important because the frequency of falling, which leads to fractured hips and legs, happens when you're deficient and low in vitamin D. And the very encouraging finding is that people with proper levels may live longer. And wouldn't you know it, George, I happened to find two studies that said for Alzheimer's patients, taking turmeric with vitamin D brings all kind of benefit.
We've been spot on. Christian, by the way, your website, myheartbook.com, is one of the most widely read websites of coast-to-coast guests. So thank you so much. Up next, former Governor Jesse Ventura, my friend, is back. We're going to talk with him for the hour about issues happening all around this planet next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. So much is going on. We thought we'd have Jesse Ventura join us for the hour, of course, and we're also going to talk about some of his latest projects. And Jesse, it was really great being on your off-the-grid TV show on Aura TV. I really enjoyed that.
Well, thanks, George. I'm glad you had a good experience on it. I really enjoy doing it. It's at this point in my life, it's my dream job because, you know, the Internet is far different than television or radio. On the Internet, a show only has to be 10 to 12 minutes because the Internet moves quickly, and you don't keep people longer than 10 to 12 minutes. And so that makes it in a day you can pound out a lot of work when it only has to be 10 to 12. Plus, I do it in a fun way to where it's almost like a wrestling interview.
Well, and my interview with you is still available on the Aura TV website. And I got to tell you a funny story, Jesse. I had hacked off accidentally my mustache about a week before that. I've had this thing since I was 20. It's my trademark. And I'm going, oh, my God, I can't cancel on Mr. Ventura. What am I going to do? Your makeup artist penciled it in, and I bet you didn't even know the difference when I was on camera.
No, I didn't. They did a good job. It was amazing what Hollywood and makeup can do, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, I want to ask you a question. I know you're off the grid, so sometimes you're not watching a lot of television, but right. Have you been watching this Ferguson, Missouri story?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've been on the grid the whole summer, George, because I had to go through that horrible trial to get the defamation suit against Chris Kyle, which I'm glad to say I won, and the truth prevailed in court. And I've been watching it all, and I have a few real big problems with it. I wish they would have indicted at some level or manner, because the case is so controversial. He said, she said, opposite sides, this and that. Well, the only way it can be sorted out through the system is the court of law.
Right, and a lot of people don't understand that a grand jury indictment doesn't mean you're guilty. It merely just says, hey, we think there's enough evidence to hold a trial.
Exactly. It doesn't mean guilty at all. It's the prosecutor's way of showing the grand jury there's enough meat on the bone that the grand jury says, this belongs in court. How this grand jury could look at this evidence, this controversy as it was, and say it didn't belong in court. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I heard the young man was shot 12 times. Is that correct?
No. He was shot 6 to 7 times. And, the grand jury did say, though, Jesse, they did agree with most of the evidence that was brought forward to the grand jury was way different than what we had heard in the media and from witnesses, who some of them changed their story when they got before the grand jury.
Well, and that's why you need a trial. And plus, the officer himself was never faced with cross-examination.
I want to ask you this.
And that's why you need a trial. And I just can't, if he was shot 6 to 7 times, I have a hard time believing that self-defense, George. I spent, 6 years in the underwater demolition SEAL team.
Yeah.
And we go in, when the SEALs go in to do an operation, like in the Bin Laden case, there's no Miranda rights. If the SEALs are in it, there's a good possibility that, people are going to die.
Right.
That's just the fact of life. Well, they don't shoot nobody 6 to 7 times, and they're being aggressive. They many times, in Bin Laden's case, went there to kill him.
Well, what they say is that this kid, who is probably as big as you are, Jesse, just kept coming at the police officer.
I watched some of that, and just walking through an array of getting shot 6 times, he's going to keep coming?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they should have just had the trial and get it all out there in the open.
That's why it needs to go to trial. When you apply my common sense to that, you got to shoot a guy 6 times to stop him from coming at you?
Yeah.
And plus, there was indication that a couple of the shots took place when he wasn't coming at him.
At least the trial would have been out in the open, and
yes,
the public would be able to see what was going on all the time.
And plus, there were abnormalities. You got to remember, the prosecutor is not supposed to stand up for the defendant. In this case, they did.
Yeah.
The prosecutor's only to go there to get a trial, and this is highly irregular. Prosecutors don't go there and offer the defense a way to not be tried. Their job is to go there to seek a trial, and this prosecutor, I've seen interviews from some pretty savvy defense criminal lawyers, said this is highly out of the ordinary.
It was a bad situation, Jesse, all around.
Well, to me, you have a trial and you avoid all of this.
I think that's what they should have done.
Because, I have a hard time, George, when you shoot someone 6 to 7 times and tell me it's self-defense.
I know. I understand. And you're right.
Rounds to have self-defense. It work.
Police officers, as you know, are going through a living hell all the time. And maybe a trial out in the open with evidence, and everybody could hear what was going on every day, because the media would be swarming the trial. Maybe that was the way to go.
Absolutely it was, in my opinion. I had to go through that to clear my name. When we went in, we had 4 settlement hearings, right? And on my case.
That's right.
The other side immediately said they would not admit fabrication and they would do nothing to restore my reputation. The only thing they offered me was money.
And you wanted your reputation restored.
Yes, that's why I didn't settle. That's why it went to court, because I said, I'm not here for money. I'm here to clear my name. And if you won't admit fabrication, we're going to court. We had four of them. And I got pounded on hard by these, the judges that try to get, settlements, because that's what they're attempting to do all the time. They don't want to go to court. They want you to settle.
That's right.
And the point was, I refused. I said, if they won't admit fabrication and they will and restore my reputation, there is no way I'm settling for any amount of money. And I didn't.
Jesse, since we last talked on this show several months ago, so much has happened. We have a Navy SEAL who has come forward and said he's the one who shot bin Laden several times in the head. What did you think of that?
Well, they've obviously changed a great deal through the years. You know, I was in many years ago, and we didn't discuss anything we did. In fact, people didn't even know who we were because we didn't wear emblems on our greens. We simply had jump wings above U.S. Navy, and we were a mystique. And then much the same as the Green Berets back in the 60s and 70s when John Wayne made a movie about them, they were exposed and they're now out front. Well, they've now Green Beret'd the SEALs pretty well. And I don't agree. Let me state this, George. Another thing that wouldn't have happened in my day, we would have never taken an old-timer like me, threw him under the bus for fame and fortune.
That's true.
That would not have happened. And then had four or five of his buddies get up on the stand and try to lie their way through it. And my attorney dissected them, and clearly the jury did not believe them. And I had my own witnesses who I was with all night. But having said that, let me also lay some blame on our own government for it. Because in my day, during the Vietnam era, our government did not pay millions and millions of dollars to hire mercenaries. They now do. So you got the Navy SEAL guys over there in combat doing the most dangerous missions, and what are they getting paid, about 25 grand a year?
Yeah, maybe a little more than that.
Maybe a little more, depending on their rank or how long they've been there. Okay, then you got mercenaries paid by our government who are making hundreds of thousands of dollars simply providing security. So these guys are over there, and they see everybody else war profiting. Halliburton's making billions of dollars on unbidded contracts. Dick Cheney gets a big umbrella from Halliburton of $34 million before he even goes into office. Tell me that wasn't a payoff ahead of time.
What a great deal that would have been.
Yeah.
Huh?
And so they see all these guys making money off the war. So can you really blame some of them if they come home and say, you know what, I want to cash in too?
What's one of the hot buttons for Jesse Ventura these days?
Hot button for me? I don't know. I'm just waiting to get off the grid again, George. I can't wait to get down there. I'm biding my time here because my wife has an extended family. So what I do is I combine Christmas at Thanksgiving, and then I get out of here.
did you hear that bizarre story of like 40-some school kids down in Mexico were abducted, taken away, who knows where they are, and they were paid, some cartel was paid off to take them away?
Well,
what's going on there?
Well, you got the war on drugs. This is all part of the great war on drugs that the United States is fighting. That's why we've got all those young kids at our border, because they're the result of the war on drugs. They're like, what do you call it, when you get people like in Vietnam, you got the Hmong people.
Yes.
Yeah, that had to come here. Well, these are the same. These are casualties. I forget what is the word, George, they use?
Oh, gosh.
I can't think of it. It's on the tip of my tongue right now. It's late at night. But you got the war on drugs. George, I was born in 51, and if you count the war on drugs, we've been at war my entire life.
Why don't they make it legal?
I don't know. They are slowly. Colorado and the District of Columbia now went legal. Alaska legal on marijuana. It's happening. And let me explain why I want it legal so bad. I have two people very close to me that suffer seizure disorders, and they took four different seizure medications from doctors with no results. This did nothing. They switched them from one to the next to the next. They went to Colorado and got medical marijuana. The seizures are gone.
Well, just like that?
Well, almost just like that. You know, they still occasionally will get a mild. It doesn't remove them completely, but way much more manageable. You know what happened in Minnesota? Wait till you hear this story.
Hold on for a second, Jesse. We're going to hit the break, but we'll come back. We'll talk about that story. We'll also take a few phone calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Jesse Ventura with us. Jesse, you were saying that you had a story out of Minnesota. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, let me say you asked for the hot button item for me.
Yeah.
It's legalized marijuana across the country so we can get the economic boom from it. It'll create jobs. It makes the best biodiesel fuel on the planet. You can make paper out of it. You can make clothing out of it. It's got many resources. It's a remarkable plant, and I'd love to see it legalized across the nation. Now, having said that, this story that happened in western Minnesota, there was a young boy about 9 or 10, and he had an accident on the baseball field, a head injury. And from it, he developed a seizure disorder. It was so painful that the kid was contemplating suicide. They put him on four different seizure medications. None of them worked. And the kid was in pain. He thought about ending his own life, and his mother took him to Colorado. And they put him on medical marijuana. And he came back, and he was back in school doing wonderful, seizure-free. No more pain, no contemplating of a suicide anymore, anything like that. And at school, they asked him, what happened? What's going on? And the young kid, little kid was honest. He said, well, my mom took me to Colorado and they put me on medical marijuana. The school reported it to the local district attorney. They raided the home. They took the medical marijuana and they charged the mother with child endangerment, where she could face a $3,000, I think it's $6,000 fine and up to 3 years in prison.
Ugh.
And all she's doing is attempting to save the life of her child.
I have interviewed so many people who cannot take pharmaceutical pain prescriptions, and they've resorted to medicinal marijuana, and it saved their life.
Yes.
Saved their life.
Yes, look at cancer patients. My wife lost her best friend to breast cancer, and she had to go the second round of chemo. She couldn't keep anything down. She couldn't keep the pills down. She couldn't eat. She went and used marijuana. She could eat. She could keep the pills down. How are you going to fight cancer if you're not getting proper nutrition?
That's right. Exactly right.
You know, and yet we continue down this road. So I would tell you, George, my hot button item, I want legalization of marijuana to become the gay marriage issue.
Now we're getting close to 2016. Are you pushing yourself toward that that election date?
Well, you know, George, I got to tell you, they're opening the door for me this midterm election. When only 36% of the country votes, that means I've got a pool out there potentially waiting for me of 64%, which is a great majority, plus what I'll steal from their existing 36%. So, you know, it's very tempting, but the big elephant in the room again is you got to have ballot access in all 50 states. They'll sue to keep you out of it and tie you up in court so you can't do it. And you have to be allowed in the debates.
I'd love to see you in those debates.
Oh, I would too. I always go by the simple premise, George, if I can debate him, I can beat him.
Hillary Clinton, Jesse Ventura, and Jeb Bush. I may do we have the capability of doing an Insta poll, which is 5% accuracy error, which is pretty good for polling.
Sure.
I think I may do that as a poll, Jesse. Let's see what happens.
Well, you know, they villainized me a great deal and marginalized me, you know, for doing conspiracy theory and things like that. So, you know, I'm not, they've scarred me up pretty good out of defense because they fear me, you know. So they attack your character and they attack other things to get you sidelined out of it, you know, and all that stuff. But it's just like Minnesota right now. And Minnesota normally leads the nation in voter turnout. I only have 50% of the pot here to go after. And I ended up, they thought I was crazy because I went to college campuses. And I'll never forget the sub-headline in the Minneapolis paper, throngs of young voters turn out in Ventura win.
I love it. I love it. Do you think they pushed you in?
I'll never forget that word, throngs.
As long as they don't say thongs, that's yeah, the important thing.
Exactly.
So you've got a television show on Aura TV, and you've got a new podcast coming along, right?
Off the Grid's been going since January. We're well over 3 million now. hits. And then I'm doing We the People with Adam Carolla's podcast company on Thursday.
Oh, great.
And that's completely different. There's where I sit down and, you know, 30 to 45 minutes and have a one-on-one discussion with someone. And the last one I did, George, you'll love it. People should tune it in. Imagine this. In one corner, Jesse the Body Ventura. In the other corner, Donald Trump.
I love it.
No, I mean Donald and I. And you'll find that it went very smooth. Donald and I may differ on things, but we've known each other a number of years, but we still have great respect for each other. And as long as you respect someone, you can have a great conversation with them, even when you disagree with them.
Absolutely. And one of the problems these days, Jesse, is people don't respect each other.
Yep.
They scream at each other.
Or the other person's opinion.
Yep.
Person's entitled to their opinion. You should hear it out. You learn more by listening than talking.
You got that right. Let's take some calls here for you. Curtis is in Pennsylvania. Curtis, you're on with Jesse Ventura on Coast to Coast. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Curtis. How are you?
Good. Hey, I heard some reports on the internet. I wanted to see if you guys heard any about guillotines being stored on military bases. Some soldiers have taken pictures by going in the wrong area and running into that by mistake, and they're putting pictures of it on the internet. Have you heard anything about that?
What was that again about?
Yeah. What are they storing? Cases?
Guillotines.
Oh, guillotines.
Yeah.
Guillotine. No, I've never heard anything about that.
Well, it's on the internet. Maybe you guys should check it out.
There's
a lot of things on the internet that are fabricated, too.
Oh, and photoshopped and everything. It could be in the French army, though.
You got to be careful on the internet also, because there's a lot of stuff out there that you got to wade through.
Absolutely. John's in Sheridan, Wyoming. John, welcome to the program. You're on the air with us.
Thank you again, George, for another great show. Jesse, sure. I had the honor of speaking to you back in early August when you were on the show. And remember, I was a fellow who served in the submarine service during Vietnam. I was on the Greenfish SS-351.
Okay.
And one of the things I want to respectfully disagree with you on is I have known of several instances of people absorbing multiple vital hits from large caliber handguns and still on their feet. And let me give you a few examples, if I may.
Well, let me ask this. Were they still a threat if they were unarmed?
Oh, yeah, because one of them, when I was working at a prestigious gun shop in Houston, this young man was a certified and armed security officer, and he came into the shop one day to get some parts for his stainless steel Series 80 Colt government model 45 automatic. And what had happened was a guy on PCP drove a big deuce and a half delivery truck through the front door.
Okay, wait a minute now. Let's stop right there. They drug tested this young man, and he had no drugs in his system.
Well, all right, fine.
But PCP's another ball game, sir.
Right.
Somebody hopped up to where they're not going to feel, they're going to be so out of their mind. I don't think that's an apples and oranges comparison. This young man was not on drugs. They drug tested him.
Right. But I can give you an example of once some fellow, when I was in the VA in 71 in Houston, when I lost my leg, there was another guy in there who never used drugs in his life, who took, now he was built like you are, Jesse, you know, just as solid as a rock. But this guy took 7 close-range hits from 45 ball rounds and lived to tell about it. The last time I saw him in September of 71, he was walking down the hall. The 7th bullet had blown his left arm off. They reattached it at Bentob Hospital, which is a great emergency.
Fine, you can find an exception to the rule. But it seems to me that if you're in self-defense, you shouldn't have to, in my opinion, it shouldn't require 6 rounds to stop someone. Maybe I'm a better shot. You know, having been in the UDT SEAL community, we shoot a great deal. We're very accurate. We're all experts with pistol and rifle, and we generally hit what we aim at. And so maybe, you know, to me, it's just, I can't fathom how it would take me 6 rounds to stop someone.
One of the autopsy reports.
Defensively. You know, if I'm defending, you put 5 rounds in someone and you still have to worry about them?
They said he kept coming, but they did find...
There's other witnesses that said that wasn't true at all. And so that's why you need a court case to go in there and get through all this contradictory stuff and see what's legitimate and what isn't. And the only way that would happen is to go into legitimate court. Not a grand jury hearing where there's no cross examinations or nothing. No, this case was so controversial it should have gone to court, because now we'll never know.
It was controversial.
Now it's going to hang out there forever.
Now one of the autopsy reports did show some minor marijuana in Michael Brown's system, but not enough.
That could be 2 weeks earlier. You will test positive for marijuana for up to 2 to 3 weeks.
That's
if you
true.
Smoke a joint 2 weeks ago, because it gets in your fatty tissue. And marijuana don't make you violent. I have never met anybody who smokes pot and goes home and hits their wife. I've met a lot of people that drink alcohol and do it.
Next up, we go to Michelle in Wisconsin. You're on with Jesse Ventura. Michelle, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Jesse.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask Jesse, he's got the program Off the Grid. I don't get to see that because I have no electricity. But why isn't he also off the grid when he's in Minnesota? I live off the grid, but I don't have electricity, and I have a wood-burning stove.
Well, I don't live off the grid in Minnesota because I've had my house since I was governor. And it wasn't off the grid, and I like my home in Minnesota, and I choose to live off the grid in Mexico for well over half the year. It's just I like where I live in Minnesota. Why would I move? And I like where I live in Mexico, and Mexico happens to be off the grid, where I provide my own electricity via solar and provide my own water, and I don't have any payments down there as such, which is wonderful. And that's just a different style. I live two lives, and they're completely different from each other. And I'm preparing to embark upon the life down there, which I get thoroughly excited for every winter.
How do you split your time, Jesse, in terms of percent?
Right now, it's hard to say because I had to come back early to do this trial mess. They made me come back in the 1st of May for another settlement.
Oh, you mean, so you haven't gone back? You haven't gone back to Mexico since we talked last?
No, I haven't been back to Mexico since May 1st.
Okay.
So I'll go down now, and I will not return till at least Memorial Weekend. So it'll probably end up, since I can do the show, it'll end up probably 5 months here and 7 there.
Okay. I split between Los Angeles and St. Louis. So
and
I'm
what's
going
interesting is
back and forth.
I'm going down there and working down there, and Mexico don't care. Yet if Mexicans come up here and work, we get all bent out of shape.
Yeah, and are you a Mexican citizen? You're not, are you?
No. Hell, I call myself a guap. You know what a guap is, George?
I'm going to find out. What is it?
Well, when the Italians migrated to Ellis Island, many of them came without papers. So they hung cards on them, WOP, and it became a slang term to identify an Italian-American as a wop. Well, I'm a guap. I'm a gringo without papers. So I term myself a guap, and they don't care. I'm down there. I've crossed the border into Mexico. I drive it. I never fly it. I drive it. And I've actually stopped my vehicle, rolled the windows down, and say, doesn't anyone come up and at least hand you a piece of paper and say, buenos dias?
Nothing.
Nothing. I stopped one time I crossed. Immigration was open early in the morning. I pulled up and I said, senor, I need my papers. You know what he said to me? He waves his arm and goes, get him an Ensenada.
See, you're lucky, though. I went to Cabo. They harassed me. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, they're hustling you for everything. I did fly.
Yeah. Drive.
The pizza man is
up. You got to go through all the red tape. If you drive, nobody bothers you.
All right, let's go to what it is called, the pizza man in Long Beach, California. Hi, pizza man.
How you doing, Jesse? I talked to you when you were on Alex Jones's show. We were talking about Ron Paul a few years ago.
Okay.
Ever since then, I was kind of in the penitentiary because I shot my handgun through the wall by accident. But it's stupid, you know. I think they try to make a crime out of everything. No victim, no crime, common law. My question for you, Mr. Ventura, is this. At what point do we shoot to kill? At what point do we say, enough of this, enough, you're fascist piece of trash, you like to murder people, You get paid to do it, and you're kicked out if you're a rookie and you go against the grain, and they kick you out.
Let me just state this, if I may. We don't have many offenses in this country that are capital offenses with the death penalty. There aren't many. In fact, in the state of Minnesota, I can happily say I loved it when I was governor because we don't have the death penalty. I'm in opposition to the death penalty. I don't believe in it. And so to me, if someone's even looting and vandalizing and stealing a television in one of these, that's not a death sentence. They shouldn't be shot. And I'll give you something to think about. Here's something, George. How is it that we as a country, we sign agreements internationally that we will not use chemical weapons against our enemy? Now, we don't always abide by that because, is a chemical weapon? The stuff that burns napalm.
Napalm. Yeah.
That's a chemical weapon, and we use it all the time. But we do sign treaties that we won't use chemical weapons, and yet we use chemical weapons on our own people in demonstrations. How is it we don't use them against our foreign enemies, but we use them against our own people?
And I think the ultimate punishment for a murderer, for example, is not the death penalty. Put him in a 6x6 room and keep him in there forever.
Well, to me,
drive him nuts.
And with DNA testing today, if I sit as governor, you're the last one that signs it. Imagine if 5 years later DNA said the guy didn't do it.
You'd feel awful.
And you signed his death warrant and put him to death. See, to me, one mistake like that is worth the killing of 100 convicted guilty
people. So it's not that you're necessarily against punishing
person. In fact, I'll tell you this. When they give somebody life, it ought to be life.
Done. Throw the key away.
They sentence you to life in prison. That means in 7 years you get a parole hearing or whatever.
Look at Charlie Manson. Keeps coming up for parole.
Absolutely. No, I'm on that side. I'm on the side. If you get sentenced, I'm anti-death penalty, but if you get sentenced to life, that means you die in prison.
Let's go to Harry in Port Huron, Michigan now. Harry, you're on with Jesse Ventura. Go ahead.
Good morning, and what an honor this is. Jesse, good to talk with you. Thank you for everything you've done for the country, and I've watched your gubernatorial reign in Minnesota with interest, so appreciate you serving your country.
Well, thank you. I did 6 years in the military and 4 years as mayor and 4 years as governor, so that's 14. That's okay. I'm happy with that.
That's a good run, Jesse. You take care of yourself. Let's keep in touch, my friend. And travel safe back to Mexico.
Oh, absolutely, George. It's exciting every year to go down there. It's an adventure that I look forward to. And let me state this to people. Cabo San Lucas and that got hit hard. They got hit by a hurricane as big as Katrina. And there's a lot of trouble down there, and they're not talking about it. I mean, trouble with people being homeless. Instead of sending our money to the Middle East and fighting wars, why aren't we helping the people who have just suffered through a bad hurricane like we did?
Need to do it. Jesse, thanks again. Outspoken, Jesse Ventura. We're coming back in a moment. We're going to talk about the life of a police officer for an hour on Coast to Coast AM.